Well, I'm so glad to be with you guys today. It was such a joy to be with you back in the spring, and I always love being in Plano, Texas. I pastored a church for 7 years called Renaissance Church. It was a church for people who don't like church. So I kind of fit in here with Robin and Graham back here on the back row. We're a part of that church, and it was very unique. And I did get my degree from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I'm an ordained Baptist minister. But I always tell people I'm a recovering Baptist. See, so I'm in the process of my recovery, of overcoming all that, because when you grow up in Texas, you're Baptist, no matter what. You can be Catholic, but you're Catholic Baptist. I mean, it's in the air. I mean, it's everywhere you go. You're just stuck with Baptist stuff. I'm going to be talking to you today about gratitude being the pathway to happiness. But first, I want to do something that'll just make everybody feel real good. I'm going to have you share the best thing you can share with anybody after Thanksgiving. It's to turn to your neighbor and say, "You look like you've lost weight." So would you do that right now? I know. Don't you feel the joy in the room? I mean, it's amazing. Can you remember the first time you were ever happy? I know it's hard to go back and think that far back, but for me, it's very easy. It was spring. I was in the sixth grade, and I was captain of the baseball team. Now, that may not seem like a huge deal to you, but it was a very huge deal to me. And let me share with you why that is. Because in 1952, when I was 2 years old, I know you're trying to figure it out. It makes me 69 years old. I know you're calculating your head. I was going to go ahead. You can turn your neighbor and say, "He looks so young and so vibrant to be 69. I just wouldn't have ever thought that. I know you're thinking that. And 1952, polio was an epidemic here in Dallas. And some of you look like you may be old enough to remember the polio epidemics. For some of you who are younger, there were great polio epidemics in the 1940s, 1950s. The polio vaccine did not come out until 1956. So in 1952, my parents took me to the doctor, and I was diagnosed with having polio, and I was quarantined with the other children who had polio. My brother was 7 at the time. They took him in for precautionary measures. As it turned out, he too had polio. He walked into the polio ward that afternoon. By that evening, he was in an iron lung. And 3 months later, my brother died. And so here were my parents who had their 7-year-old son who died, their 2-year-old son who's still quarantined in the hospital. And it was just absolutely tragic for my parents. My parents didn't handle my brother's death very well. They sought out psychological help, but unfortunately, in the 1950s, there wasn't very good information about the grieving process. My parents were advised to try to live as if my brother didn't exist, to not talk about him, to not have any pictures of him. Of course, we can't do that, but that was the dominant psychological theory in the early 50s. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross' Stages of Grief didn't come out till 1969. So the idea of stages of grief is a very new concept in our culture. And so So I grew up in this home where they didn't handle grief very well. My mother got so bad that they gave her some treatments. They gave her electric shock treatments to deal with her grief. Can you imagine? And then when that didn't work, they gave her insulin shock treatments. They shocked her brain with insulin, overdosed it in order to get her to not remember. And so I had braces on my legs. I was walked with crutches for a long sometimes because they put a cast on one leg to stretch the muscles in my leg, and then they put a cast on the other leg and stress it and stretch it, and in a wheelchair part of the time until I was 10 years old, and I had 2 major operations that dramatically changed my life, pretty much miraculously changed my life. And so I was in the fourth grade. Between fourth and fifth grade in the summer, I had these 2 surgeries, spent the whole summer recovering. Spent the whole fifth grade year recovering. And then it was in the sixth grade, I tried out for the baseball team. And so when they put the names of the people who made the baseball team on the bulletin board, my name was at the top as the captain of the baseball team. And so all the girls came running out of the gym saying, Danny, you made the baseball team. And not only did you make the baseball team, you're captain of the baseball team. And it was spring, and I was in the sixth grade, and I was captain of the baseball team. And not only was I the captain of the baseball team, our team was a great team. It was an undefeated team. In fact, when my friends get together, we still talk about our undefeated season in the sixth grade. And so it was the last game of the year. Our team was so good, the coach wanted the sixth graders to play the seventh graders. And so it's the big game of the year. And so it's the bottom of the last inning. We're one run behind. We have two outs. My friend Oscar gets up to bat. He hits the ball, and he runs to first base. So then I come up to bat with two outs. Oscar's on first, the tying run. First pitch that comes across the plate, I hit it way out into left field. I take off running to first. Oscar goes to second. When I'm rounding first, I can see the left fielder still chasing the ball. So I run to second. Oscar's going to third. I'm rounding second. The guy's just getting to the ball out in left field. I see that Oscar's going to score, and the game is tied. I'm running to third base, and I get to third base. I have to make a decision. Am I going to stay at third? If the next batter gets up and makes out, the game will be tied. We have to go in extra innings, or I could try to run for home. I decided to run for home. I took off running for home just as fast as I could, and I saw the catcher was down like this, and his eyes were really big, and I came in sliding into home plate. I heard the ball hit the catcher's mitt just like that, and I heard the umpire yell, "Safe," and everybody came running out of the dugout, and they lifted me in the air. We won, we won, we won, and it was spring, and I was in the sixth grade, and I was captain of the baseball team, and it's the first time I can remember feeling just total happiness. When I go through difficult times, I go back to that time and remember that kind of feeling that I want to capture. And so I'm going to give you three reasons that you can be thankful today that will lead you to happiness. And then I'm going to share with you something that's a deep truth at the very end. And so the first reason that you can be thankful today is because you have a power on the inside of you that helps you overcome every trial, every tribulation, every difficulty that you have ever faced. You have that power that you can tap into that helps you do things that you didn't think you could do. How many of you have gone through seasons of your life where you didn't think you could make it, but you did? Every one of us have. And how did we do that? How did we do things that we didn't think we could do? We did it because there is a power within us that's greater than what we think, greater than our will, even greater than our emotions, that helps us to stick to it, that helps us to overcome. I'm going to give you an illustration of that, but in order to do that, you're going to have to help me, and I'm going to turn you into a choir, and we're going to sing a song, but that's a song I think you all know the words to. We're going to do the Beverly Hillbillies song. Okay? So I'm going to get you started, but then I'm going to turn it over to you. Okay? So here we go. Come listen to my story about a man. Yeah, that. Now that saw that. That TV show hasn't been on for 40 years, but you remember the Beverly Hillbillies song. Yeah, you keep it going, huh? So, well, if they were doing the Beverly Hillbillies song today, they wouldn't use Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. I'm going to show you, if they were doing the Beverly Hillbillies song today, how I think that they would be doing it if they were doing it today. Come listen to my story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up from the ground came a bubbling croot, a bubbling croot, a bubba 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 bubbling croot. Oil, that is, black gold Texas tea. See? That's how I think they'd be doing the Beverly Hillbillies song today. Now, the story of Jed Clampett is an interesting story. It's a story of a man living in poverty, sitting on top of all the wealth he'd ever need. And you know what? We can live our lives like that. We can live our lives in a poverty of thankfulness when we're sitting on top of all the wealth we'd ever need. We have the divine power on the inside of us that helps us to overcome every trial, tragedy, heartache, difficulty that ever comes your way. And we want to be able to tap into that. And wouldn't it be a sad thing to live your life in a poverty of being trapped in the sorrows of your life rather than tapping into that power that helps you to overcome? There's all kinds of poverty in life. There's poverty of wealth. There's poverty of happiness. There's poverty of character. We can tap into that power that's on the inside. The second reason that you can be thankful is because you live in the United States of America. You live here. Because just think, right now, you have police department. If we had troubles, we could call up on the police department. We could call EMT. To be here. Fire department would be here probably within 5 minutes. They would be here if we had trouble. We live in the United States of America, have Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, who provide services for us. We live in the United States of America. In the United States of America, how much money can you make? You can make as much money as you want. They won't let you keep it all. But you can make as much money as you want. How much education can you get? You can get as much education as you want. How many books are you allowed to read? How many books are you allowed to read in the United States of America? They have a thing even called a library. We can go check out those books. How much food are you allowed to eat in the United States of America? We have so much food, we have to work to not eat. Where the many people today are going to be working all day to have something to eat. I want you to think about this when you're on your way home today. I want you to count the number of restaurants you're going to pass on the way home. Think about how many things you have. Sit in your living room this evening. I want you to count the number of things, every little thing you have in your living room. And think about all that you have. Live in the United States of America. In fact, this is the greatest time in the history of the world to be a woman. We have lots of women in here today. I want you to know, you have been blessed that you were born in this country at this time to be a woman. You have more freedom, more opportunity than any women who have ever lived on the face of this planet. You have more power, more opportunity, more things that you can do. You have the power because you live right here in the United States of America. In the United States of America, you can stand on the street corner and say the U.S. sucks. You live in the United States of America. You can be thankful because you live here. The third reason that you can be thankful, it's because you're not an instinctual creature. You have the ability to choose. So just think about this. A goose that lives up north. Instinctual creature. Goose always flies south for the winter. Always flies south. Just has to fly south. Never says, I'm going to stay up north, check out the snow. Goose does not do that. Goose does not go to the west coast. The goose does not go to the east coast. The goose always flies south for the winter, does the same thing all the time because it's an instinctual creature. But you're not an instinctual creature. So I want everyone to say, I am not a goose. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you are not a goose. Okay? So I'm going to show you how that's true. So I want you to do something for me. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up, if you can. And what I'd like for you to do is find somebody you haven't introduced yourself to yet. And go introduce yourself to that person. And then stay there because I have one more thing I want you to do with that person. So go find a person you haven't said hello to. Say, hi, my name is. How long have you been coming here? All right. Okay, stay with your partner. Stay with the person you're talking to. Let me have your attention. You can look back up here. Now, I want you to introduce yourself. But this time, I want you to do it this way. I want you to do it as if you just got a phone call and you won $75 million in the Texas State Lottery. Okay? And now, introduce yourself and you express yourself like you would. You just got off the telephone. Now, what are you going to say to that person? Do that right now. All right. Very good. You can go back to your seat. Now, I noticed that there was a difference between the first time and the second time. And nobody won $75 million. The only difference between the first time you introduced yourself and the second time was your choice. You chose to express yourself differently. What if every time somebody entered into this church on Sunday morning, they got greeted the way you did the second time? What if when you had your greeting time like we did earlier, it was a greeting time like you did the second time? We're so excited that you're here. You see, it makes a difference. Because you want to know, there's a world out there that feels like they're not accepted. But when they walk in these doors and they meet you, they can find acceptance. You want to know how to change the world? Here's how you change the world. You accept the people who need acceptance. Now, I know that's what this church is about. But you know, there's a difference between our intellectual thought. We accept everyone. There's a difference between the intellectual thought, the idea, something written on the screen. There's a difference between that and what actually happens. When somebody walks in the door, the way you show acceptance, you talk to people. Don't let anybody come in without someone talking to you. See, we can be thankful because we have the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose the direction of our lives. We have the ability for our lives to be different in 2020 than they were in 2019. You have the ability, no matter how old you are. I'm 69 years old. I have the ability to continue to choose what I'm going to do with my life. Every day of my life is a choice I make with what I'm going to do with it. And you have the ability to choose. So you can be thankful, but you have a power within that helps you to overcome every trial, difficulty, heartache that ever comes your way. To go through things you didn't think you could make it through. The second reason you can be thankful is you live in the United States of America. And the third reason you can be thankful, you're not a goose. So go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, you are not a goose. Say it again. Remind one another, you're not a goose. I had a lady who heard me speak about this one time. And she said, I was having a house built, and the builder came to me with all these difficulties wanting to change what I wanted. And she said, I looked at him and I said, I want you to know, I am not a goose. Now, he thought I was crazy, but I was just letting him know I had the ability to make the choice, right? So those are the three reasons you can be thankful. Now, I'm going to go to a deeper truth about how you can be thankful. And so I've thought about this all week, and I've thought about what I want to share this with the group. It's very deep. It's a little deeper, and you may have to think about it for a while. And I like that you have, as part of your values, that you don't have to agree with the speakers that speak, and that always makes speakers more comfortable. So, is learning to be thankful for all the heartache in your life? To be willing to say, thank you very much. I have no complaint. So I want you to go with me for a minute. Let's just say things in your life in the past happened the way they should have happened. Now here's the thing. They happened the way they happened, whether you think they should or not. Right? And so when we say they should not, we're making a judgment. That should not have happened. Right? So let me just show you. I'm going to give you some illustration. Just say, like if you have a teenager and they always leave their socks on the floor, and you say to those socks should not be on the floor. Well, it doesn't matter what you say. The socks are on the floor. And you say, he should know better than to have those socks on the floor. Yeah, but the socks are still on the floor. And you can yell about it and you can complain about it, but you know what? The socks are on the floor. You can call into a talk radio station and talk about how teenagers today leave their socks on the floor. But those socks are on the floor. And you can say, those socks should not be on the floor. But you know what? Socks are on the floor. Right? So, there was this great Jewish philosopher that if I said his name, all of you have heard it before, who said, judge not, lest you be judged. And that seems to be something that people have a hard time with. The Bible thumpers don't quote that one much. Okay? Judge not, lest you be judged. Now, here's what I want you. And we're going to go to deeper truth. Here's what I'm going to go. So get ready. Here we go. We're going deeper because this is a group that can go deeper. We're going to go deeper. Judge not, lest you be judged. When you judge your life, that it should not have happened that way, you have judged yourself. Judge not, or you will be judged. So when you judge your life, you judge your life in the past, how things happen, and that they shouldn't have happened that way, you are judging you. You know what? It affects nobody else. None of those people are affected by it. Nothing happens here in the outside world. The only place that that judgment takes place is inside your thinking. The only person who's being judged is you. Deep, right? And so I know you may not believe this or not, but I had girls in high school who broke up with me. And it was heartache city. It was just like, oh my God, they broke up with me. I can't believe it. And then when I went to my 25th high school reunion, I saw those same girls. And you know what I said to God? Thank you very much. I have no complaints. And here's something that I know our mind does. And it happens during holiday season. Our minds will dwell back on the past. Mine's done it this holiday season. My brother died on November 22nd. And so that year, I researched it this week. Thanksgiving was on the 26th that year. And so my mind dwells to the past. When my mind goes to the past, and my mind will dig up, you know, my mind can There's crazy stuff happening in my mind sometimes. You don't. If they put my mind on the screen, I would be embarrassed. Not good. So when your mind goes to those places, and even if you dwell in that place for a while, because our minds tend to do that, if you dwell in that place for a while, when you come to your senses, one thing you can do is say, thank you very much. I have no complaint. I look back. Would I have rather had not have polio? Of course. But you know, when I look back and see where I am today, I can still look back and say, thank you very much. I wish my brother was still alive. But you know, if I judge that he shouldn't have died, it doesn't hurt him. It doesn't help him. It only hurts me. And I can look back on my life and say, thank you very much that God has brought me to this place. I can say, thank you very much. And you know, that is like a spiritual practice. It's not easy to do. And I would assume many of you here today would be struggling with this concept. It's a spiritual practice that you have to really grab a hold of and think about. It's taken me years and years and years to be able to think about that. And here's one of the things I know. And now, there are people in the room with gray hair. Now, let me tell you something. The people in the room with gray hair are the ones you need to listen to. The people with gray hair know what's going on. Now, for some of your ladies, you're covering it up. I know that. But the people here in the room are people who have gray hair. Here's what people in the room with gray hair will say. You can't, when you look through the windshield of life and you try to think what's going to happen in the future, whatever you're thinking about the future is, you're just making it up. You have no idea what the future is going to be. The way you can really understand life is looking in the rearview mirror. And the people with gray hair, I think, can say, I can look in the rearview mirror and look at things that I thought were bad that turned out good. I can look in the rearview mirror and be glad some of my prayers were not answered. I can look in the rearview mirror and say, I'm glad some of the things didn't work out the way I wanted them to work out. The gray hair people can look back. So those of you who are younger need to listen to the people who have gray hair. There's a point. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but I was none the wiser for all she had to say. But then I walked with sorrow, and never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned when sorrow walked with me. I would rather walk with pleasure any day of the week, but pleasure doesn't really ever teach me any life lessons. But when I walk with sorrow, when I walk with pain, heartache, and difficulties, I learn a lot. Learn a lot about me, a lot about other people, a lot about the world. And so today you can be thankful. You can be thankful for everything that's come your way. You can say, thank you very much. I have no complaint. You can be thankful because you have a power on the inside that you can tap into to overcome every difficulty, trial, tribulation, heartache that comes your way. You can be thankful because you live in the USA. And the third reason you can be happy is that you are not a... Thank you for letting me talk to you today.